Blue eyes crying in the rain.
Hello, everybody out there in farm country. This radio commentary is brought to you by Monsanto and John Deere. They're both friends, supporters, and allies of a healthy farm economy and prosperous rural America. And now for today's commentary.
This is Rick Frank sitting in for John Block. The news wires have been buzzing lately about the recently released scientific report of the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee. One of the hottest topics for discussion is how out of step the report is on a number of issues, including the committee's dive into political matters like sustainability, soda taxes, and added sugar labeling. These are topics outside the jurisdiction of the dietary guidelines and should be addressed by Congress or the FDA. Today, I want to discuss caffeine consumption. Caffeine is something that has never been addressed before by the dietary guidelines for Americans, and probably for good reason. First, caffeine is safe, and safety is outside the mandate of the dietary guidelines. It is a topic that fits firmly within the jurisdiction of the FDA. Secondly, America seems to know what it's doing when it comes to caffeine. 85% of Americans consume caffeine every day, and they have done so safely for generations. In the committee's conclusions on caffeine, they suggest that 3 to 5 cups of Morning Joe are just fine, up to a moderate intake level of 400 milligrams per day for healthy adults. Inexplicably, however, they seem to suggest that energy drinks with the same amount of caffeine per serving should be avoided. The committee's approach is troubling for a number of reasons, the least of which is that many coffee house chains serve coffee beverages that contain twice as much caffeine per fluid ounce as a standard energy drink. A typical small can of a leading energy drink contains 80 milligrams of caffeine, which is roughly the same amount as a regular cup of coffee or 20 ounces of cola. Why is the committee treating caffeine and coffee differently from the caffeine in energy drinks? This is puzzling when we consider that caffeine, whether found in coffee, tea, cola, or energy drinks. The report acknowledges that the largest sources of caffeine among both adults and children come from coffee, tea, and soda. So why is caffeine in coffee okay, while tea and soda are ignored and energy drinks vilified? Possibly the answer is politics. The dietary guidelines should provide a practical and achievable set of dietary and nutrient recommendations based on balance, variety, and moderation. It should not delve into political topics that are outside its mandate. If the dietary guidelines are to address topics like caffeine, it should be done holistically and in an unbiased way. Consumers need to understand caffeine in context and be provided with helpful information to enable them to make informed dietary decisions. Otherwise, they'll get confused. Let's hope that USDA and HHS take the lead on the important task of finalizing the 2015 Dietary Guidelines for Americans in a scientific rather than a political and emotional way. Until next week, I'm Rick Frank, sitting in for John Block in Washington.